Lord God, open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts that we may together hear and receive your word, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please sit down. Have you ever been first at the scene of an accident or a crime scene? Back in January, Martin and I were in Wells on our little bit of time away after Christmas, and we were crossing the road at a Pelican crossing with lights, and there was a car waiting as we crossed, and around the corner came a big school bus and crash, went straight into the back of it. The coach driver said his brakes weren't very good, he was actually going far too fast. And we gave across our details, as you do, to the lady in the car, poor lady. We've never been called as witnesses, so I think he must have admitted his fault. It was fairly clear. Very much more complex is the situation in Salisbury. If it wasn't so serious, it would be like an episode from a spy thriller movie, wouldn't it? I'm sure they'll write films about it in future. The Skripals were found on a bench in the town centre in a terrible state. It was quickly thought that they'd been poisoned, and it was known very quickly that they had that afternoon been in an Italian restaurant and in a pub. They'd also visited the family grave, and they'd been at their own home at the start of the day. There was a policeman who tried to help them, and he was also taken seriously ill. Well, gradually more of the details have seemed to have come out, and the people who had visited the same places in Salisbury were a few days later told that they should wash their clothes or bag them up. Other bits of the city and villages started to be cordoned off, and it just took a while for everybody to work out what might be going on, not surprisingly. We now know that it's thought to be nerve agent, and the latest is they think it was smeared on the door handle of their home, and it was on their hands for the rest of the day, and that opens up all kinds of questions. I know people who'd use the same car park ticket machine were thinking, what was happening? Thankfully, one of the key witnesses, one of the Skripals themselves, Yulia, is recovering. And providing she can remember, she should be able to give an account of what happened. And I'm sure there'll be people who will know very well how to ask somebody those the right questions to find the truth of what actually happened. So what happened on the day of resurrection? Who were the key witnesses? And how can we know if their accounts were accurate? Well, the four gospel writers each gave an account of the resurrection. And there are some common factors, a lot of common factors, but there are also some differences, perhaps not surprisingly. In all of them, the women are going to the tomb in the early morning. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the women are bringing spices to anoint the body. John doesn't have that detail. He does record in the chapter before that Nicodemus anointed his body before it was buried. Whatever the reason the women were going there, they all record that they found the tomb open and empty, and then went back to tell the disciples. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have women meeting angels who told them about Jesus. Matthew and John record them meeting the living, risen Jesus. Luke and John have Peter running to the tomb, and John adds that the disciple Jesus loved ran with Peter to the tomb and believed that Jesus had risen. Now, it's not surprising that there are a few differences between those accounts. It must have been a very confusing time, and different witnesses would have seen different things and known different things. John didn't see the angels. Luke knew that Peter had run to the tomb, but might not have known about John, or might have decided he had to kind of keep it within a shorter account. So how can we know if these accounts are accurate? Well, I think the core of the account is so similar. And there are those very similar details about it. The women going to the tomb, the empty tomb, going back and telling the disciples. That there is this sense of something real about that. Very interesting that the testimony of a woman was not valid in New Testament times. I feel I often say this on Easter Sunday because it adds an extra validity to the story where it's called going against the grain, where you have something in the New Testament that is a bit unexpected. You think, oh, that seems funny. You kind of know that those faithful gospel writers were putting it down. And even somebody a bit sort of cynical would say, well, actually, that is something that's very true. Now, women were not valid witnesses in the New Testament. The fact that all the gospel writers put down that it was the women going to the tomb, I think showed that absolutely, they knew that happened. They were truthful to it. They stuck to it. It would have been much easier to have had Peter running to the tomb, getting there first. And finding it was empty, and then meeting the risen Christ. That would be much more what you would have expected within that culture. But that wasn't what happened. They recorded what happened. And that's what makes these such exciting accounts. They were faithful to the story that they'd been told. Down through history, people have thought of all sorts of reasons why the tomb was empty. Even in Matthew, it records a rumour that the disciples had stolen the body. Not an easy thing to do with armed guards at the tomb and a great big stone in the way. Why, if they'd done that, would they have been willing to die for their faith? Others say that the authorities stole the body, but if that was the case, why didn't they produce it to squash the rumours? Others say that Jesus was not properly dead. Well, that's very, very improbable if you've been crucified for several hours. And even after 2 days, I'm sure you wouldn't have been able to get up, roll the stone away, and appear resurrected. All those things don't make sense. But what does make sense is the account that's in front of us. And John's account is in many ways, I feel, the most personal. It's commonly thought that he was describing himself as the one Jesus loved. And if that is true, then it means he was actually present. And I don't know about you, but I feel when I hear the account of John, it's the account of somebody who was present, who saw what happened. There's something very compelling about it. He would have heard of Mary's account first time on that morning. Peter and John went to the tomb to see what was happening. Then they left Mary at the tomb. You wonder, did they encourage her to come with them? Who knows? They left her at the tomb and they went back to where they were staying. And the next thing they know, she's banging on the door of their house to say, he's risen, he's risen, he's not dead. And that evening, which we'll be looking at this evening, we're looking at the upper room, John would have been a first-hand witness. He too would have met the risen Christ at the end of the day. And if you look at the account that we've just heard, you realise it's all about relationship. His focus is on the relationship between Jesus and his disciples. The relationships between the disciples are clearly there too. But the key focus is the personal relationship between Jesus and each of his followers, each person who loves him and who he loves. He waits at the tomb to meet Mary and reassure her. He lets her cling to him and then sends her to the other disciples to tell them the news. If you read on through this chapter and the next, you find that he meets those disciples in the upper room and by the shores of Galilee. And in all of those encounters, you get individual meetings. You get him talking very personally to Thomas, very gently to doubting Thomas. You get him talking personally to Peter, again, very gently. Over the next few days, you might like to read chapters 20 and 21 of John to yourself. Just find a quiet moment and read them. Look for those personal conversations with those different followers. And I think you'll see they are a real record of what happened. And as you think about this chapter, you might like to pray, to ask God to give you some personal time with Jesus. You may have had that in the past. You may have had a very personal encounter with Jesus. That might be a new thing, something you've never experienced. But ask God and give yourself some space. When you have a relationship, you need to give space to that relationship. Give space to your relationship with Jesus. And it's those personal encounters with Jesus and his sending of the Holy Spirit that strengthened the disciples to go forward in confidence as Christians. And they took the world by storm, even though very small, very uninfluential, very fragile group. I think sometimes as a church we can feel a little bit like that in the 21st century, can't we? But we're much, much stronger than where the disciples were then. So pray for a personal encounter with Christ, and you will find yourself strengthened in faith and able to go forward in faith. Pray for our church that we will all have that personal encounter, that we will go forward in faith and outward in faith. And who knows what might happen.